Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In the years following Jesus' ascension from earth into heaven, the Christian church grew very rapidly in the power of the Holy Spirit. But Christians soon found themselves persecuted by both the Romans and the Jews. In many areas, it became unwise and even dangerous to be known as a Christian. In much of the time during the first 3 centuries after Jesus, Christianity was declared illegal and public gatherings of Christians not allowed. So they wouldn't betray themselves as being Christians to the Romans and suffer harm for doing so, Christians used a fish symbol to mark meeting places and tombs. When 2 strangers met and thought perhaps they were both believers, one of them would draw on the ground the upper half of a fish. The second person would add the second curved line and complete the drawing of a fish. The fish symbol could be drawn quickly and wiped out just as quickly if there was no sign of recognition by the second person. The letters from the Greek word fish were used to form symbols which stood for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour. Although the fish symbol has been used by other groups much earlier than the early church, its use has been revived in recent times with Christians putting a fish symbol on their cars or in business advertisements. In today's Bible adventure, Judas Iscariot took his love of money to a new level by agreeing to betray his Lord.
Members of the council, the situation is getting out of hand. It is much more serious than any of us think. A little more and the Roman authorities not only will take away our system of self-rule, but our religious freedom as well.
May I remind you that already we have made it an excommunicable offense not to report to any ruler or scribe the whereabouts of Jesus, if known.
Has anyone come forward yet with such information?
No.
And they never will. Jesus is too popular with the people for any to testify against him. And for that very same reason, we have to be careful lest the people take action against us.
May I speak?
Of course, Annas. As past high priest and man of learning and wisdom, your words have great weight with this council.
Be that as it may, something must be done about Jesus quickly. One man born of poor parents, one man with not a farthing to his name, one man with no learning or authority is right now controlling Israel and this body of learned, powerful, and wise men. How long are you going to let this go on? Do something!
But Jesus has a certain power.
Power? You mean such as raising Lazarus from the dead?
That and many other things. Things that cannot be refuted.
Well, I haven't personally seen any of the so-called miracles, have you?
Well, no, but many people have.
Well, that gives all the more reason to act quickly and decisively. We must kill Jesus and Lazarus. And as long as Lazarus lives as proof that Jesus has power over the grave, the people will listen to him. Not us.
Well, thank you, Annas, my father-in-law. We are all agreed with your words and suggestions. And now that we have definitely decided the fate of Jesus and Lazarus, what is your name?
Judas,
and
sir.
What can we do for you, friend Judas?
I understand you desire to kill Jesus.
Well?
I hate him. He thinks I am greedy. He thinks I'm envious, a thief. And why shouldn't I be? He is showered with gifts worthy of a king. People worship him. But me? I get nothing. The people don't even notice me. Actually, I'm a better and wiser man than he is.
And what are your intentions? Why are you here?
I can tell you where Jesus is.
You will betray Jesus into our hands?
Yes, for a price.
Ah, yes, money. That's important. How much?
You'd give almost anything to get your hands on him.
Now, the best slave is worth only 30 pieces of silver.
But he is not a slave.
To us, he's not worth the price of a slave. But out of our generous hearts, we will give you 30.
That is terribly cheap for the Son of God.
the Son of God, and you hate him?
All right, all right. For 30 pieces of silver, I will betray him.
The scripture references for Judas Iscariot agreeing to betray the Lord Jesus are in Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, and Luke chapter 22. What type of person was Judas Iscariot? Judas was the son of Simon Iscariot and the treasurer of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. Judas was there at the Last Supper the disciples had before Jesus died. Before this, he had criticized a woman thought to be Mary for pouring expensive ointment over the head and feet of Jesus. Judas thought the ointment should have been sold and the money given to the poor, but Jesus wouldn't let the woman be criticized because she did it unknowingly for his burial. In John chapter 12, Judas was identified as a thief who helped himself to the group's money purse. Because Jesus knew of Judas' theft, we ask ourselves, why didn't Jesus confront Judas and try to make an honest man of him? Alternatively, why didn't Jesus take the money purse off Judas and give it to one of the other disciples? Matthew, the ex-tax collector, would no doubt have been a prime candidate. But Jesus likely didn't want Judas to leave the group. The other question modern thinkers ask is, if Judas hadn't betrayed Jesus, how would the chief priests have been able to get Jesus arrested? So then they logically ask, was Judas doing God's will, and is he in hell right now? Judas betrayed Jesus of his own free will. He didn't have to let Satan entice him to do such an evil thing. He could have remained faithful and loyal instead. People can do wrong things because their motives aren't pure. Some people think that Judas never really gave his heart to Jesus. Rather, he followed Jesus in the hope that he would be an important official in an earthly kingdom that he was expecting the Messiah to establish. But when Judas finally realized Jesus would have no earthly kingdom, Judas could see that there was no further advantage in following Jesus. Jesus had told the disciples many times that he was going to die. It was reinforced to Judas again when the woman anointed Jesus with the expensive perfume. Jesus said that she had done it for his burial. The Jewish leaders were delighted by Judas' offer to betray Jesus. It meant that they wouldn't have to wait until the end of a week-long feast of unleavened bread to seize Jesus. They offered Judas 30 pieces of silver for his trouble. With Judas being prepared to betray Jesus in the dead of the night, the Jewish council members didn't have to worry about crowds of followers trying to intervene and save Jesus. Because Judas helped them so much, the Jews found it easy to move forward in the process of a trial and put Jesus to death. Even though Jesus knew the hour of his death was near, he desired to eat the Passover meal with his disciples. Arrangements were made, and when all was ready, they sat down to eat. But there was no servant to wash their feet, as was the custom in the day. There were no volunteers to do the job either. So the Lord Jesus himself took off his garments and set about washing the disciples' feet. Some of them were embarrassed that they hadn't been the ones who offered to do the job. In John chapter 13, after Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, he said, "I have set an example for you, so that you will do just what I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. No slaves are greater than their master, and no messengers are greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you'll be if you put it into practice. I'm not talking about all of you. I know those I have chosen, but the scripture must come true that says, 'The man who shared my food turned against me.'" This prediction was made in Psalm 41. Let us learn from Judas' sin. Those who have trusted the blessings of Christ yet turn away will receive the greatest punishment for doing so. For them, the Bible says there is no hope of repentance and no hope of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 6, the writer of the book warns against falling away. In the scriptures, there are spiritual elements of milk for the new believers and solid food for mature believers. To keep growing spiritually, believers need teaching about righteousness and how to prepare for suffering for Jesus' sake. As we grow in Christ, we become better able to distinguish between good and evil. Then we're better able to see the sin in our own lives and the good in Jesus' life. But to grow in this way, we need solid food in good Bible teaching, not just drinking milk and listening to how to be a good, faithful Christian. In the Christian life, we either go forward or backwards. There is no standing still. We cannot remain in the same spiritual state for long. Like a tree, we either grow or die. Once we have laid a foundation of our Christian faith, we don't need to lay it again. The writer mentions two parts of this foundation. First, repentance from acts that lead to death, and second, faith in God and Jesus Christ for salvation. They are the first steps in our Christian life and shouldn't need to be taught to us over and over again as if we've never heard or understood them before. Acts that lead to eternal separation from God and His goodness are our own sins. Not only should we be asking for forgiveness from these sins, we must also turn away and leave them behind completely. Once a person has learnt these basic teachings and later turns back to the ways, thoughts, and motives of the world, rejecting Jesus and His Lordship as they do so, it's impossible for that person to be brought back to repentance again. It's impossible to lay the foundation a second time if the light in that person's heart is really darkness and not of God instead. The writer to the Hebrews is saying that true Christians who have received the gospel, shared in the Holy Spirit as well as the blessings of Christ, can deliberately and knowingly abandon their faith. If they do such a thing, if they fall away and reject Jesus completely, there is no hope left for them. They cannot be brought back to repentance. The writer is not talking about wandering briefly out of God's will, straying away and backsliding. He's talking about the most fearful sin of all, to reject God's light after having seen it, to reject Christ after having received Christ's gifts and blessings. Those who do this crucify the Son of God all over again. Such people who do this have no interest in repentance or letting God be their master and Lord, as their hearts have become so hardened that they cannot recognize God's truths any longer. Is it possible for a true Christian to fall away? No. The writer to the Hebrews is warning believers who are sinning and those whose faith is weak so that they might not fall away and ultimately reject Christ. How is it possible for us to know which new believers are true Christians and which are false? Both may appear to be true for a while, and one might fall away. When the trials and tests of life come, a professing Christian may fall completely away, completely denouncing any part of God's kingdom or salvation. Can we ever betray our friends to their enemies the way Judas did? Satan is always looking for an opportunity to use our anger, selfish fears, and worldly needs for his purposes. When we're angry, we naturally begin to speak against that Christian brother or sister who's angered us. Others hear us and spread around a bad report about that person. When this happens, Satan is very happy because soon more and more Christians begin to talk against one another. This is Satan's most effective method of splitting apart a church or a Christian team. Rather, we should do our best to encourage others and hold fast to the principles of faith and take action using those principles. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished." Let us examine our motives in following Jesus. Are we truly seeking and following Jesus as Lord because we love and desire to obey and please Him? Or are we hoping that others will think highly of us or that we might obtain things for our own purposes? Judas enjoyed the benefits of being associated with Jesus, but in his heart, he never surrendered to the lordship of Christ and giving up his own evil nature. Let us forgive one another and seek peace with God and our Christian brothers and sisters. Fear the living God, for He is the only one who has the power to save our souls from their own dire ruin. Salvation and heaven's welcome is found in surrendering fully to Christ alone. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.